News Radio. Phoenix police and firefighters, part of a group heading back to help relief efforts from the superstorm.
The makeup is primarily firefighters and with different specialties, either hands-on technicians or in leadership capacities. And then we bring a smaller PD component for troop support.
Dramatic pictures out of southwest Arizona. A Jeep stuck atop the 14-foot-high border fence outside of San Luis. Smugglers got away.
The smuggling organizations turned to drastic measures. It shows us how successful we really are here in the Yuma area.
A physically challenged man who almost died in a Black Canyon City house fire going home after months of treatment at the Maricopa Medical Center.
I owe everything to the Lord, because if it wasn't for the Lord, I wouldn't be here.
Pima County Sheriff's deputies on the Sabino High School campus near Tucson today after a threat of Halloween violence.
The Pima County Sheriff's Department will most certainly do anything in our power to prevent any such incident.
George Tatter, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic is a service of the 99Z Oli store. Look for a collision blocking three lanes, gang. This is a big one. Westbound Loop 101 near Cave Creek. Also, that's going to create the stop-and-go traffic in that area. Also, look for an accident off to the side. Westbound 202 near the I-10. Trick-or-treat, 99-cent only stores makes it easy to save on treats for the whole gang. Let large bags of Lemonheads Tootsie Pops for only 99.99 cents each.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center, and hope everybody stays nice and safe as we move into this Halloween evening. It looks like we're still going to be warm again tomorrow, bringing in the 1st of November, close to 90. But then by the weekend, we have a nice cool down. Friday, mid-80s, into Saturday and Sunday, low 80s. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thanks, Jimmy. Currently here in Midtown, we're at 87 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
From the jungles of Vietnam as a combat medic and Green Beret, to helping keep our community safe as a doctor, a deputy sheriff, and SWAT team leader, Rich Carmona's always answered the call to fight for what's right. It's why we need him in the U.S. Senate, and it's why newspapers across Arizona have endorsed Rich Carmona, praising his bipartisan appeal and independence.
Those people who we entrusted our destiny to have failed us. Let's just get somebody there who will listen and start solving some problems rather than being worried about getting reelected or keeping a party in power. I'm not a soundbite guy. I'm pretty much a straight talker. I'm not worried about getting reelected. I'm not worried about whose party's in power. I'm going to go and work real hard and make it easier and better for the struggling families in our country. I'm Rich Carmona, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Carmona for Arizona.
This is Legalese, where the law is always on your side. Now introducing your host, a longtime veteran of the courts, Dennis Willinchek.
And this is Dennis Willinchek, and I'm here with John Willinchek, better known as Jack to his friends, and or Wolf Boy Jack, depending on what show he's on. But how are you doing today, Jack?
Doing good, Dennis.
Good. And today we have a full show today, and as usual, today we have on as our first guest Augustine, and better known to the community as Augie, Bartning for State Senate District 24 running, and District 24 is a Republican. And many of you have seen Augustine, better known as Augie, signs just saying Augie, and soon you'll be a household word, I think, right? Everybody will know you just as Augie.
I've received some requests.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you a little bit about Augie, our listening audience. Augie attended Brophy College Prep. In fact, Jack was at Brophy at the time that Augie was elected student body president. I think that was Jack's, what was that, your first year?
I was probably a freshman when he was, he was president.
Yeah.
I later ran unsuccessfully myself, so I'm great.
You're sympathetic.
Greatly honored to be in the presence of an actual student body president.
A president, yeah. And Augie received his degree in foreign service from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and interned for Arizona Congressman John Shattuck, and worked for Keeling & Associates, a New York-based consulting firm which specializes in evaluating and approving the function of institutions of higher education, and also worked for a company called IUTA, a nonprofit that gives social and legal assistance to victims of human trafficking, domestic violence, sexual assault, immigration issues. And what are you doing now, Augie, other than running for office?
Sure. Well, earlier this year, I was working for a fundraising company, Yaskalis Campaign Strategies, and that's kind of what propelled me back into the political arena. I kind of had stayed away working in the private sector for the consulting company for most of my professional experience.
Yeah.
But the last few months, I've really been trying to focus on getting out and meeting as many people in District 24. And so I'm really curious and ready for this to be done in 6 days. So
yeah,
I can
I'm sure you are.
Make the next plan.
Now, we don't have much time, but I want to get a couple of things clear to our listening audience about you, because you don't even have your last name really on your signs.
I'm sure it's there somewhere. Right?
Yeah, but there's only one Augie, I'm sure, on the ticket, so they'll
find
you.
There is. That's right.
But really, how old are you now?
I just turned 33 on October 9th.
Okay, 33. And you just explained that you were propelled into running for – is that something you've always wanted to do in the back of your mind, or –
Well, it's something that I considered, and obviously having run for student body president.
Well, you can't lose with that, right?
My degree is in foreign service, which, you know, has a lot of political science courses and economic courses. And so I think it was in the back of my mind. This may have been a little quicker than I had imagined, but I was redistricted actually from the LD-11 until this new
okay.
LD-24.
Let's talk about that for a second.
Sure.
I think I'm in – I don't know what district I'm in.
I think we're in LD-24 right now, right?
Yeah, we are right now. We are currently in LD-24.
I live in PV. Is that in
– You're probably in LD-28.
28. Okay. It's very confusing for people, frankly. It's hard to keep track of it.
We were previously in the same LD. We were both
right.
in LD-11.
Exactly. I used to be a precinct committee person in 11, and that's what I knew. But anyway, this 24 – just. Where does that run from and to?
So it runs as far east as Pima Road. So it includes a lot of South Scottsdale from Osborne down to McKellips.
Okay.
And then it goes as far west as 19th Avenue. And at 19th Avenue, it goes as far south as Van Buren, as far north as Northern.
Okay, so it's a pretty diverse district.
Yeah, and it looks a little awkward. It almost looks sort of like that because it's very narrow between Thomas and McDowell, and then it kind of branches out in some other parts.
So what do you do as a candidate? Do you literally knock on doors? I mean, how do you get the word out there other than signs?
That's what I've been trying. Thankfully, as you brought up the signs, it seems like it's given some name ID.
Yeah.
A lot of events that I've been going to, people, I introduce myself, and they're like, oh, I love your signs. And
right.
So that's been nice that people recognize that. I've recently
that's why I asked you to be on the show. I saw the signs, and I said, who is this guy?
Really?
Yeah,
I'll
little did I know that he was the former president of Brophy. But they are intriguing, I got to say.
Yeah. Well, I think that, as you were saying, now what I've tried to do is get out there as much as possible, knock on doors. I've tried to attend different events. I was telling you earlier, I was at ASU today, and that's not in my district, but I feel as much exposure as I can get and meet with different members of the community. There actually was a gentleman there working with Voto Latino who lives in my district. So, you never know where you're going to find people that live within the boundaries of District 24.
Now, tell our listening audience in the time we have before our break what your platform is and how you distinguish yourself from your opponent, who is who?
The opponent is Katie Hobbs.
Katie Hobbs. Is she incumbent?
She is an incumbent in the House.
Okay.
So she's
But of course,
now,
with this redistricting, who knows, right?
Technically, this is the old LD-15.
Yeah.
So that was –
Like I said, it's so confusing. I don't think anybody normal can follow it.
But technically, it's an open seat.
Okay.
But the platform, if you look at my website, voteaugie.com, I talk about the 5 E's. And I think based on my professional experience, a lot of my experience has been in higher education. And I do think that one of the biggest concerns for the legislature, and obviously it's the biggest part of the budget, has to do with education. I'd like to see some real reform in that area, and I think that the next legislature has to deal with this issue and is very capable of doing so. And just to kind of follow up on that, I know that Prop 204 is on the ballot, which has sort of been touted as a quality education and jobs. I actually... again, I think there's some good things within that initiative, but unfortunately, it's at the cost of, I think, low-income and middle-class families because I believe it's a regressive sales tax. So I do think hopefully the voters –
So you're opposed to the permanent sales tax?
I am opposed to it because that's what I see it as
But it's touted, as you say, to help education, but you don't think it's going to do that?
I think that the next legislature must deal with this issue, and I think that the particular Prop 204 will not create any reform. It's just going to put more money into a system that
Yeah, I mean, the fact that it's permanent, I guess, is the issue here, really.
I think you're right. If it was a another temporary sales tax because people were saying that we still need a few more years to go through, I would vote yes.
Yeah,
I think the permanence of it, a lot of people are sort of seeing
that. That was kind of how I saw it, too, yeah. I mean, it's sort of a noble goal, but on the other hand...
Well, it's the fact that it's permanent, and then it's not tied into any actual improvement in the schools.
Exactly.
Right. That combination is a bit worrisome.
Yeah, I think it's going to go down. But anyway, so what other things? Now, my understanding is, of course, you brought up education. What are some other hot items on your agenda?
Well, and as we were sort of addressing, we talked a little bit about energy and solar energy in particular, and I think that that's a topic that keeps coming up, and I think most people are in favor of some form of solar energy. And this is something I've said before, at another debate, actually, with my opponent. Mm-hmm. And I think right now we can certainly focus in on solar and incentives for residential homes, as well as for if you go to the Veteran Affairs Hospital or the downtown Phoenix Public Library, they've done a good job of putting solar panels over the parking structures, which serves as kind of a dual purpose. And I think in those areas, there's a lot of value for creating solar.
All right. We've got probably a minute and a half left,
okay.
And I want to give you the opportunity. We're talking to Augie Bartning, and many of you have seen his signs around town, running for state senate in District 24. And Augie, in the time we have left, tell our audience, give your wind-up as to why they should vote for you.
Sure. I think one thing that has been resonating with people as I go door-to-door is that I've been presenting myself as a reasonable voice, especially within the Republican Party. I know sometimes in the last few years we've kind of got a reputation for being out there. I think I'm a reasonable voice, an independent voice that will really resonate with the community where I grew up in. One thing you didn't mention is that when I was a student here, I was awarded the City of Phoenix Young Man of the Year Award, and I was also given the Dr. Martin Luther King Living the Dream Award. And I grew up in this community. I care about this community. I think that people could really use a voice and an advocate for someone that's fighting for them as opposed to for party lines or for other political interests.
And in 30 seconds or less, why are you different than your opponent? What's the biggest reason?
I think the biggest reason is that, especially in this district, my opponent will really, and she's shown that in the House the last few years, is she's voting the Democratic Party line. And voting no most of the time.
So you're a guy that kind of feels you can cross the aisle.
I think I can cross the aisle, and I think I'll work more on collaborating as opposed to opposing.
Augie Bartning, it's a pleasure to have you on the show, running State Senate, District 24, and we'll try to follow your race in the next couple of days and hope you win.
Well, thanks so much. And again, for more information, voteaugie.com.
We will. Okay, take care.
There are threats to life everywhere, from Obamacare, which will provide funding for insurance plans that pay for abortion and will lead to rationing, to abortion on demand, which allows abortion for any reason, and taxpayer funding of abortion. The choice this November is clear. It's time to take America back for life. This is Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life, asking you to vote for Jeff Flake and Vernon Parker. Jeff Flake and Vernon Parker support legal protection for unborn children and oppose using tax dollars to pay for abortion. Jeff Flake and Vernon Parker oppose Obamacare. Rich Carmona and Kyrsten Sinema support a policy of abortion on demand. Rich Carmona and Kyrsten Sinema support the pro-abortion, pro-rationing Obamacare law. On November 6th, say yes to life. Vote for Jeff Flake for Senate and Vernon Parker for Congress.
Paid for by the National Right to Life Victory Fund at nrlvictoryfund.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee, NRL Victory Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
I love you, son. So it hurts when you say I hate you. I'm your mother. I'm tired of you disrespecting me when you don't get your way. I work hard to make sure you have everything you need. I should be able to ask you to get out of bed in the morning without a fight. So from now on, things are going to be different. I ordered the Total Transformation Program. We're not going to scream and fight anymore. I'm going to tell you what to do in a different way, and you're going to do it. You're not going to call me ugly names anymore, and if you do, you're going to get consequences that'll keep you from calling me ugly names. We're not going to do things your way anymore, son. We're going to do things the Total Transformation way.
Get the Total Transformation free. Just order the program, tell us how it works for you, and you can keep it for free. Call 1-800-241-1419. 1-800-241-1419. Call now. 1-800-241-1419. 1-800-241-1419.
I have the answer. Call me for this link and you will call me back. I have the answer. Who was the dynamic leader that history tells us that when he went to meet his maker, that his eyes were not dim nor his vigor abated? I have the answer. I urge you, choose science and not celebrities in your pursuit of an active lifestyle well beyond statistical predictions. I have the answer. Is your energy level low and your health insurance costs high? I have the answer. Tired of buying grocery store produce from third world countries that have been sprayed with who knows what? I have the answer. I have nutrient dense, locally grown produce, and so much more. It costs a few bucks, but it's worth $1 million. Charisma Culture is our name, and applying gifts is our game. I have the answer. 602-762-2601. 602-762-2601. 602-762-2601.
Well, this is Dennis Wolinchek and Jack Wolinchek on Legalese, and hopefully Chet will turn that music down a little bit, and we'll. Yeah, okay. You have to pull the mic closer, and we're assuming you guys finally found us on the radio. We're here now in our second segment with Susan Bittersmith and Bob Burns, running for the Arizona Corporation Commission on the same, I guess, what would you call it, ticket as Mr. Is it Bob Stump?
Bob Stump, right.
Not the older Bob Stump.
No. Actually, no relation.
No relation.
But it
that's
is
an unusual name. But anyway, so welcome to our show. And basically, the Arizona Corporation Commission. First, let me start with you, Susan. Give our listeners, we have some time, give our listeners a little briefing, if you will, on what the Arizona Corporation Commission does, why it's important, and why you're running, and then we'll turn to Bob and get ask him the same.
Certainly. And if Bob Stump were here, he would tell you that it's the most important body in government you've never heard of.
Yeah.
And that is, unfortunately, the fact, because the Corporation Commission regulates public utility company rates and terms and conditions of their operation and private water company rates.
Yeah.
And then there's a miscellaneous sets of things that obviously you go to the commission to license your corporate entities and LLCs and your not-for-profit entities. There's also some railroad safety components as well as security licenses that the commission regulates. And what's unique about it in Arizona is it's a constitutionally created body, so it's kind of the fourth level of government. The five commissioners are elected statewide. There are three seats up this time. Hence, you've got two teams of three, the Republicans and the Democrats. Bob Burns, Bob Stump, and myself are the Republicans, and you have three Democrats running. We're very different philosophy-wise, and we want to join the two incumbents that are staying, whose terms were elected last time, which are Brenda Burns and Gary Pierce.
Okay.
So that's kind of briefly what the commission does. And
now, let me just say, these are full-time jobs or what? Is this a part-time position?
Many of the commissioners have other part-time or other jobs.
It's a paid position.
It's a paid position. It is an active position, obviously, because it's a statewide constituency. Meetings are held different places in the state. There are a series of open meetings. It is a body that's active and needs to be engaged. A lot of research, a lot of understanding about how you set water and power rates, particularly.
Right.
And certainly an understanding, in our opinion, at least, of how business operates. And that's part of the reason the three of us are running together.
Now, the other ticket, if you will, which I assume is sort of the Democratic ticket, would that be fair to say?
It's definitely the Democratic ticket, yes.
The other ticket, two of the three are on the commission now, or are they all three on?
No, two of the Democratic ticket are incumbents. They were elected in the Obama wave 4 years ago. And we respectfully thank Bob Burns, and I don't want to speak for him, but I think I would tell you he's much better qualified than the two incumbent Dems. I certainly believe I'm much better qualified.
Well, I'm just trying to understand this and get a feel for it for our listening audience. In other words, how many members are on it again, you said?
Total five.
Total five. There's two right now that aren't running, so you got three. And
it's a staggered term arrangement.
Yeah, but there are two of the incumbents that are running on the Democratic ticket. So who is the third one?
Bob Stump, who is on our ticket.
Oh, so he's already on. Okay, got it. I understand now. I think we all get it. And Susan, let me just ask you before we turn to Bob Burns, and I assume you're no relation to the Brenda Burns, right?
We have explained that many times.
Okay. But anyway.
Short answer is no.
The short answer is no. Okay. Well, he's a politician. He gets to, you know, expound on his answers, right? All right. But, you know, you both, by the way, and I'm sure the same is true of Mr. Stump, who I don't know that well, but just I know of you, and I know you're very both well qualified for the position. And Susan, I know I've seen living in Paradise Valley. And by the way, I have a pet peeve on my water bill, by the way, that we can talk about.
We should talk about it.
Yeah, because my water bill is like $1,000 every month, and I still can't figure it out.
We have a solution for that.
Good. We'll talk about that because I hope so because it's outrageous. But anyway, having said all that, I've seen your signs in Scottsdale many times, and you've been around there, gosh, many, many years, and have had different positions there. But really, what attracted you to this particular post? Is it the importance of it? Is it the challenge of it? What?
It's all of those things, Dennis. But it really is because I spent the last dozen years on the Central Arizona Project Board of Directors as an elected member. That, too, is an important job that nobody's ever heard of. But
yeah, that's true.
Arizona's major water source.
Seems like a lot of people are running for that position.
This time, yeah. There's 13 people for 5 seats. Yeah. But that board is elected countywide, and I spent the last 4 of the 12 years I served on that board as president of the board.
Okay.
And so we really were engaged in water rate setting, water issues, and because CAP is the largest single power utilized in the state of Arizona, I've known a lot about power issues. So it seemed like a natural
fit. So you're
kind
of drawn to that.
It is, and a lot of folks in the water community were concerned about kind of the issues you've been raising
about
water regulatory structure, and there are some things that need to be changed, in my opinion, at the commission, and that's kind of my baby, and that's what I want to do.
Well, we'll come back to you in a second, but let's hear from Bob Burns, who's running for Arizona Corporation Commission, along with Susan Bitter-Smith and Bob Stump. So, Bob, my understanding is you're an aviation electronics technician in the U.S. Navy at some point, and after the military, you went to work for GE and Honeywell, and you wrote panel software for power generation facilities and became a state representative in 1989. God knows why, but you'll tell us in a minute. And then maybe it was a predilection for torture or something. I don't know. But
Self-defense.
and then you were elected to the Arizona State Senate in 2003, and in 2009 became president of the Arizona Senate, which is an interesting position. And so you've been down this road in the Senate and, you know, been involved in politics for a good period of time, although it wasn't your first calling, it sounds like. But why this position now?
Well, I guess my main concern, and it, as we've gotten more into the campaign, which started a year and a half ago, I'm very concerned about the economy, the strength of the economy in the state of Arizona. Part of that coming from my legislative service, that was part of my issue when I was in the legislature. The Democrats are running as a solar team, and I believe they're putting more emphasis on the solar industry than they are on the ratepayer. And the solar industry, as it stands now, requires subsidy in order to exist.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not advocating rolling that back or anything like that. But what they are advocating is basically doubling the mandate. I believe that would have a very detrimental effect on our economy, especially at this point in time where the economy is weak and an increase in the cost of power and water would be very detrimental. And we've used the example of the Navajo Generating Station, which is the main source of power for the CAP. And I did serve on the CAP board for a couple of years as well. At the same time Susan was there, in fact. The Navajo Generating Station, 95% of the power that's used by the CAP comes out of that Navajo Generating Station. The Obama administration has... using the EPA, is putting pressure on that plant to do a retrofit in the neighborhood of $1.1 billion. Obviously, that would have a tremendous impact as far as increasing costs of doing business. And there's even been some speculation that the plant might close. So with CAP being the biggest power user in the state of Arizona, and that kind of an impact on our economy, I think is a dangerous position policy-wise. The Corporation Commission has no power or authority over that plant, but I think it's a perfect example of the sort of the position, the policy position of the two different entities. And so we believe that we need to have a constant 24/7 source of power, clean water supplies, and we need to have a broad portfolio of fuel, if you will, because solar is a fuel, in order to make sure that we have this dependable power supply and water and good water supplies for our economy and our personal lives.
Okay, so we've got a little less than 2 minutes before our next break, but so what is it really that propelled, is that what propelled you into this, or what got you involved in this particular post?
Well, again, that was part of it, to get uh-huh. started, but the more longer I got in it, the more energized I got in that regard.
So you guys both, we're talking with Susan Bittersmith and Bob Burns, running for a corporation commission on the Republican ticket. You guys basically both have a completely different philosophy than you're saying from the Democratic ticket that's running. I mean, it's what I'm hearing.
I believe so,
in terms
yeah.
of priorities.
I think it's a clear choice. We certainly are there to protect ratepayers, as Bob said, mm-hmm. and look at the cost of the renewable portfolio. We believe in renewables, but there's a cost ratio benefit that needs to be weighed for consumers, and it has to be practical.
Well, you guys
and reasonable.
Sound like Democrats. Isn't that what the Democrats usually say, that they're for the ratepayers?
Well, I can give you a quote from one of the Democrats.
Yeah.
In late September, we were in a function in Tucson, and Mr. Newman said that he quoted a study that there was 94% of the people in Arizona wanted solar, and that they would be willing to pay $25 to $50 a month additional on their electric bill in order to advance that.
Where did you get that from?
Well, I think the number, the 94% came from some study that AAPS had done, but I don't think the $25 to $50, I think he pulled out of his hat.
But we have yet to find anybody in an audience that raised their hand and said, yeah, I'm with him.
I'm good with that. All right, well, we're going to take a break for the news break, see what's going on in the news, and we'll be back on Legalese, Dennis and Jack Wolinchek, in just a few minutes with Bob Burns and Susan Bittersmith running for Corporation Commission.
News Radio, I'm Veronica Dela Cruz. By air and on the ground this afternoon, President Obama checked the damage inflicted on New Jersey from Hurricane Sandy. He renewed a commitment to do whatever possible to help pick up the pieces.
We'll be working as closely as possible with the state and local officials, and we will not quit until this is done.
New Jersey Governor Chris Christie guided the president on the tour and praised the president's quick response.
It's been a great working relationship to make sure that we're doing the jobs that people elected us to do.
Mitt Romney held back from his usual attacks on President Obama on Wednesday with the East Coast reeling from Sandy. The Supreme Court is considering limiting the use of drug-sniffing dogs by police. The justices are considering making states prove in court how well-trained and effective those dogs are before prosecutors can use evidence turned up by the canines. Wall Street put an end to a down month. Stocks closed flat on the New York Stock Exchange. This is NBC News Radio.
Arizona News Radio, a Maricopa County jury finds a Scottsdale man guilty of the deaths of his two sons.
Andre Ledevay shot his 1 and 5-year-old boys to death as they slept, then pulled the gun on himself. The jury finds him guilty twice of first-degree murder, obviously believing the shootings were premeditated.
Flagstaff police looking for a man who tried but failed to rob a Wells Fargo bank.
A white male, approximately 6 foot, in his early to mid-30s. Suspect was wearing a gray hooded sweatshirt.
He demanded money from the vault workers, went into a room, and disappeared. A 13-year-old Florence boy already on probation, arrested for a home burglary.
He admitted that he was bored. He snuck out of his grandmother's house, out a window.
Tempe police arrested a 24-year-old man they believe was responsible for 17 residential burglaries to feed a drug habit.
He didn't care if there was children home. He didn't care if there was elderly people home. He didn't care if you were home by yourself. You were sleeping, and sometimes if you were up.
George Tanner, Arizona.
This check of your KVNX traffic, once again, a service of the 99 Cent Only Store. Look for that wreck, Southern Avenue at Greenfield. Also, we have a fender bender involving a pedestrian, 67th Avenue at McDowell. We also have a vehicle on fire, 91st Avenue at Indian School. Look for a wreck, eastbound US 60, this one at Stapley. Good news, though, it is in the clearing stages. Get all the kids' favorite candy, 99 Cent Only Stores has large bags of Tootsie Rolls, Smarties, and Lemonheads for only 99.99 cents each. Why pay more? Here is your forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center, and hope everybody stays nice and safe as we move into this Halloween evening. It looks like we're still going to be warm again tomorrow, bringing in the 1st of November, close to 90. But then by the weekend, we have a nice cool down. Friday, mid-80s, into Saturday and Sunday, low 80s. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thanks, Jimmy. Currently here in Midtown, we're at 87 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. Coming up, more of the Legalese Show with your host, Dennis Wolinchek. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chad Reynolds, and you're up to date.
Are you one of the two-thirds in Phoenix underwater on your mortgage? Does stress about money keep you up at night? If so, there's a 10-year-old multi-million-dollar wellness company in Chandler that is thriving in this down economy. Over the past 3 years, they've experienced over 600% growth, and they're looking for motivated individuals just like you that want to earn extra income. They have full and part-time professionals making $500,000 to $100,000 a month. Nothing comes close to this opportunity. Listen to this.
Hi, this is Kelly from Washington. I made over $1,000 in my first month and over $25,000 in my first 90 days, and my income continues to skyrocket.
So call now, 800-494-1276. That's 800-494-1276, or visit thrivinginaz.com to learn more about this amazing company. Stop stressing about money. Improve your life with a company that has experienced over 600% growth. Call 800-494-1276. That's 800-494-1276, or visit thrivinginaz.com.
Did you know that more than 65% of corporations on the New York Stock Exchange are using barter? In fact, more than 470,000 companies in the U.S. participate in barter. What do they know that you don't? Think you know barter? Think again. With Premier Barter, the Valley's fastest-growing and most business-friendly barter company, you can gain access to a network of more than 40,000 companies. Through Premier Barter, you can expand your customer base and generate barter dollars, which can be spent through hundreds of companies locally and thousands of companies nationwide. Almost anything you can think of, things you're currently buying for cash, can be acquired with barter. Visit www.premierbarter.com. It will be the best business decision you ever make. 602-470-8020. That's 602-470-8020. More than 470,000 companies in the U.S. participate in barter. What do they know that you don't? Call Premier Barter today. That's 602-470-8020. PremierBarter.com.
And this is Dennis Wolinchek and John Wolinchek, known as Jack Wolinchek, to his friends and enemies alike. And we're here with Susan Bittersmith and Bob Burns on Legalese every Wednesday from 4 to 5 on 1100 KFNX Independent Talk Radio. And, you know, guys, I find this fascinating, as we were saying during the break, that really nobody knows what the Corporation Commission does. I mean, insiders may know, but you know, even as a practicing lawyer for 34 years, I'm not really clear on it because I've never taken the time to really look at it. Again, give us a simple understanding. What exactly does the Corporation Commission regulate? I mean, we were talking off the break, for example, about the water bills. But you don't regulate all water bills. Like City of Phoenix water bills is something you don't have any power over, right?
No, and because we regulate private water companies.
Just private companies.
So obviously City of Phoenix, City of Scottsdale.
Why is that, by the way? I'm just curious.
Because the municipal entities are government entities unto their own.
Okay.
And, for example, the commission doesn't regulate the Salt River Project either. Same reason, because they are a governmental entity.
I see.
Now, that being said, clearly there are impacts because there aren't many communities. PV, we talked about earlier,
right,
has a private water company provider. To parts of Scottsdale that have,
right,
private water company providers. There are parts of Mesa that have private water companies.
Yeah.
And then in rural Arizona, it's a lot of private
water companies.
A lot of really small water companies. Yeah. And they need to go through the commission, and that's where we have some antiquated rulemaking processes that need to be cleaned up.
And Bob was talking here, Bob Burns was talking about, you know, for example, the nuclear generating plant up in northern Arizona. And you said, well, the Corporation Commission doesn't really regulate that. So are there plants that it regulates?
Well, yes, but that's not a nuclear. That's coal burning.
Coal burning,
Sorry. The Navajo generating station
is
coal burning.
Right, that's right.
And that's,
I should know that because you can see the smoke from all over the place.
Yeah. Well, I'd probably debate you on that
one.
it's actually steam.
Steam, okay.
Well, and it's a very small amount of steam. And what always gets me is when I visit the Grand Canyon, and that was the argument used a few years ago when they spent $500 million to retrofit, was to clean up the visibility over the canyon.
Years ago, as I recall it, when I was on Lake Pleasant, you could see that smoke coming out.
Well, what I always get is when I go to the Grand Canyon. I've been up there a few times.
I've been up there recently, by the way, in fairness, and
usually have a prescribed burn going on by the Forest Service, and that's where the visibility gets affected with all the smoke drifting through the canyon. So, getting back to it, not a consistent message.
So, what about nuclear facilities? Is that something the commission regulates, or
yes? Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yep.
So it doesn't regulate coal burning facilities.
Yes. Some. Yep.
It doesn't regulate Navajo
because it's actually on
Indian tribal land. That's why.
Yeah.
So.
Got it.
Well, in special districts too, like Susan mentioned, Salt River Project. It's my understanding that if you had a water company and you turned that into a special district, where you would have your own board of directors and you would have your own basically taxing authority to run that district, then you would be outside of the Corporation Commission.
Okay. Now, let me turn to you, Bob, and ask you just about your time in the Senate. What happened there? Did you not get reelected, or did you decide to step down, or what?
Well, I was term limited out.
Oh, you're term limited out. Okay.
Yeah.
So now, can you sit out a term and come back, or you're done?
Well, I had the option to run for the House or sit out a term and run again. I spent 20 years in those two buildings down there, and so thought maybe a change would be good.
Yeah. Well, and I'm kind of curious, being president of the Senate, what do you see as the biggest challenge down there right now? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, and I was appropriations chairman for 8 years in the House and 6 years in the Senate, and the budget is the responsibility of the legislature. That's the state budget is the primary responsibility of the legislature every single year. And so, there's a lot of other things that happen, some good, some not so good. But the budget is the thing that takes up the majority of the time, the most staff time is applied to that. The negotiations between the House, the Senate, and the governor's office, that's a lot of
gotta be a frustrating job.
Time consuming. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you don't miss your time necessarily, or?
Well, I told some folks it was like the tight shoe.
Yeah.
Tape feels good when you take it off.
Right. But anyway, thanks for your service there. That's obviously important for people to do it. I personally take my hat off because I think it's a really tough job. People don't think that. I know it is, and it's very difficult to stay up with all of the legislative enactments and also, the bills and writing them. It's a lot of work, and people don't realize that, but it's a lot of tough work.
Well, I always tell people that ask me about running, I say you better have a high tolerance for frustration.
Yeah.
If you want to accomplish something there, you better be very persistent. Some items take years to get through.
Yeah.
Typically,
a lot of politics, right?
I always put them in the category of if they're a emotional type of issue as opposed to a logical type issue. Things that make sense and are logical take a lot more work and sort of educating, if you will, of members and getting public support, as opposed to the emotional issues that come flying through.
All right, so let's focus again on this race, and I appreciate your thoughts about that. Just kind of curious, given your background. But on this race for the Corporation Commission, Susan said there's a clear choice here, and I just want to give you more of an opportunity to flesh that out in terms of what that choice is. You mentioned one thing, which is that you're focused on the consumer and the rates that we face as consumers with these private companies, and that would include SRP and APS as probably the two biggest people you have to deal with down there. But what is that clear choice beyond that? I mean, I would assume if we had your opponents in here, they'd be telling me that probably they look out for the consumer as well. But in reality, why do you think that they wouldn't?
Well, let me give you I think I can give you a clear answer to that. And I use that same example I did earlier. If the three Democrats win, they take control of the Corporation Commission.
Okay.
They would be the majority. Paul Newman would be the senior Democrat and would, in all probability, be the chairman of the commission. And he is the one that said ratepayers won't mind paying $25 to $50 a month more on their electric bill. In that position, he would have the power to do that. He would mandate that their rates would increase by that amount.
And who is he, by the way? Who is he? I mean, we don't know anything about these people. What's his background, real quick?
Well, I served with Paul in the legislature.
So he was a former legislator.
He was there for a while in the legislature. He was a county supervisor in Cochise County.
I see.
I believe he was a defense attorney in Bisbee at one point in time. And he's been on the commission now.
All right, so that's the clear choices if they take control.
Yeah.
Well, and in fact, as we've alluded to earlier, part of the challenge here is the balance in the energy portfolio between renewable supplies and then other cheaper supplies, which could include coal-fired resources, natural gas, other entities. And there is no one on the Republican team that doesn't support renewables. We think that's important. But again, there is a cost-benefit analysis that has to happen. There are currently mandates, renewable energy standards that are in place, were put in place by a Republican commission. And that, in fact, has raised bills a tad bit because of the requirements. Solar energy at the moment, others are more expensive. It's an important commodity. We need to be sensitive to that. But as Bob said, the Democrats have advocated that that mandate that's in place now is not enough, that we need to be mimicking California and its energy policy, and that we're an embarrassment because we don't haven't doubled that mandate or tripled that mandate. And if that were to happen, rates would skyrocket. And to me, that's not a benefit to the ratepayers.
All right, but let me play the devil's advocate for a minute and ask you, how do we get to an environment then where we're promoting solar energy and other alternative energy sources? I mean, obviously, the money has to come from somewhere. And where is it going to come from?
Well, it comes from being a reliable and sustainable resource, and actually being a resource that is as cheap or cheaper than other non-renewable supplies.
But I mean, initially, that's probably not going to happen.
Which is why the existing renewable energy standard is in place. That's the kickstart engine that's happened, and is in place and is working. We are now number two in rooftop solar in Arizona. That didn't happen by accident, but it's happened without having the huge rate increases in brownouts and blackouts that are happening in California and even in Nevada. We're seeing rate increases for that same reason. I think that's the balance that's difference between us and the Democrats, is we absolutely agree that solar and other renewables, not just solar and the renewable pile, need to be part of that portfolio, but take it in a fact that it can be self-sustainable. And if you had someone on air with us from the solar region, many of them are in agreement with us. They want to be sustainable, for-profit, and they want to make money, and they want to do so with their own business acumen, and that can be done and is being done under the current standards.
So you see that issue really that we're talking about now as the primary thing that separates you guys?
Well, and that's, for some reason, that seems to be the discussion point all the way through the campaign. Mm-hmm. And we've been driven to that by the media that's been involved and by the candidates.
But the whole water reform stuff we've been talking about is unique to us, too. Yeah.
Well, what's their position? We've only got about 30 seconds, but...
It's not their topic of conversation. The water stuff comes up usually from us as something that needs to be done.
It's not a priority on their side.
No, and I don't know that they oppose it, but it is a priority with us because that's an important resource for Arizona, too.
All right. Well, when we come back, this is Dennis Wolinchek, Jack Wolinchek on Legalese. We're going to be talking with Susan Bitter Smith and Bob Burns, who are running for the Arizona Corporation Commission seats, and we're going to be talking about what your priorities would be if you actually got elected in about a week. Okay. We'll talk to you in just a few minutes after these commercial messages.
Join Sandra R. Sunday evenings at 6:30 p.m. for My Versatile Life, a conversation about people and God and the wisdom to overcome challenging situations. My Versatile Life, Sunday at 6:30 p.m.
Survival Cave Food, your best choice for tasty beef, chicken, turkey, and pork. Like many preppers, I have an assortment of food stored up, including beans, honey, and wheat, along with some dehydrated items. Well, thanks to Survival Cave Food, now you can add tasty, quality, real meat to your food storage plan. Survival Cave Food meats boasts a 15-year shelf life when stored at room temperature, but the best feature is its amazing home-cooked taste. Go to theprepperpatch.com to order Survival Cave Food meats and add quality, real meat solutions to your long-term food storage plan.
Hi folks, Greg Schulte here for Legends Cadillac in North Scottsdale. As you all know by now, my favorite baseball saying is, you can touch them all, especially when it's our favorite hometown team. Well, at your favorite hometown team, Legends Cadillac, you can also touch them all. Get behind the wheel of that sporty CTS coupe. Experience the luxury and performance of a truly great car. Check out the outstanding lease program available right now and see for yourself how affordable that Cadillac really is. Not to be outdone is the world's most popular luxury crossover, the SRX. Four different option packages specifically designed for every driver's wants and needs. And rounding third, the Cadillac Escalade. Legends has the best selection in the Western region with factory incentives and great leasing options on every model. Everyone loves the first place team, and Legends of North Scottsdale is doing it right. Legends, it's like no place else.
Are you underwater on your home?
Honey, grab the snorkel and find a Let's Go Short Sale.
Short sales are the solution. Find out more on the Elk Realty Show, Wednesdays at noon.
All right, well, we're back on Legalese every Wednesday from 4 to 5, talking about topics of interest in the community. Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX, Dennis Wolinchek and Jack Wolinchek. You know, we were just all talking off the air, basically, and you know, we were talking about priorities before we broke for the last commercial break. So my understanding in talking with you both is that there already are mandates in place set by prior commissions, right?
Correct. There is a renewable energy standard, yep, which means that 15% of any provider's portfolio has to be a renewable energy source. It could be a combination of solar, hydro, a wind, whatever might be appropriate for that particular provider. And there are goals that has to be met by 2025. In fact, several utilities in Arizona are ahead of where they're supposed to be.
Are we on track, basically?
Yeah, we're actually ahead. Mm-hmm. We're actually ahead, okay, which tells us that there is motivation from the private enterprise side to make this renewable component work. Mm-hmm. And that's the balance we keep talking about, is that, yes, we have to have this in the portfolio, but there has to be a sensitivity to what that's going to do to ratepayers, particularly in this economy.
Let me ask Bob. So given this mandate, I take it that you're running because you want to keep this mandate in place. You don't want to experiment with something new. Is that fair to say or not?
Well, I think the last part of that is true. I don't think we need to mess with that at this point.
Okay.
Especially unless there was something at the very margin, you might want to do some tweaking. But to double the mandate or triple the mandate is what I see as a crippling of the economy.
And you think that's what's going to happen if these folks are elected?
That's what they're saying.
Okay.
I mean, so.
So they're going to change this mandate basically dramatically, is what you're saying. You don't feel a need to do that.
No. Well, I think it's dangerous to do that, to make that kind of a huge shift. If this transition is going to take place to move into solar off of some other fuels, I think it needs to be an orderly transition, and you can't put so much pressure on a power plant that is using coal, for example, that they can't adjust and make some kind of changes that they may need to make, switching over to natural gas or something, for example. They have to have time to transition, and that's something that's not happening.
So let me be clear with you first, Bob. What, as a member of the Arizona Corporation Commission, assuming you're elected in a week or so, what is it that you can do to ensure that, number one, these goals are being met as a member of the commission, that is, and whether or not, for example, building codes are being written to meet those goals or other steps are being taken? What is the Corporation Commission able to do in that regard?
Well, if I'm elected or if Susan's elected or if Bob Stump is elected, the Republicans maintain majority and maintain control of the decision-making at the Corporation Commission.
But how does that work is what I'm trying to understand here. In other words, in terms of instituting these goals that the mandate provides, what does the commission do? Does it basically issue edicts to these companies such as APS or SRP to follow these guidelines or mandates? Or how does that work?
Well, I don't know that we get into that minutia. I mean, it's sort of this, here's the mandate, 15%. By 2025, then the power company or whatever has to figure out how to make that work.
Okay.
And they have to come back to the commission and get approval for their plan.
All right.
That's exactly it. That's it. And obviously they come in from the commission for rate increase or in some cases decreases because there have been rate decreases.
And they can't get that if they haven't complied.
Exactly. Yeah. They can't. They have to operate with a current approval of the commission.
And what you're saying, if I understand correctly, is that if a commission imposes, let's say, a higher percentage on a quicker schedule, then the companies can't afford to do that, is what I'm hearing.
Somebody has to pay for it.
Somebody's got to pay for
that. That's going
to
be the ratepayer.
Right.
Okay. So based on what you've seen, they can't incorporate those changes any more rapidly without some kind of rate hike.
Our system is set up through the Constitution and statute that the investors who invest in these power plants and so forth have to get a return.
Yeah.
And so in order to make that formula work. If their costs are driven up, then the ratepayers
are going to
have to cover it. All
right, I think it makes sense, simple sense. Yeah. Are there any plans for new power plants in Arizona that you know of, either one of you?
Well, there's constant discussion about increasing energy demands. I don't think there's any current plans at the moment, but, you know, clearly we've had some people, private companies, come in and talk about some smaller nuclear facilities. They would have to go through FERC to get approval to site it, and so that's, you know, a long-term component. Obviously, we have the fear factor of what happens to Navajo Generating Station if, in fact, the administration is successful in either retrofitting it so it's no longer cost-effective to operate or closing it down. Then we've got a real problem because we have to find some immediate other sources of energy, and there's not enough time to build another plant. But that could be, you know, certainly a conundrum. But you know, I think as you are seeing and hearing, there is power being generated to supply our needs. The question is at what price, and that's where we, I think, are ahead of the curve in Arizona than other communities like California, where they really have shut down, you know, other components of construction for plants, and they're discovering they have brownouts because they're relying on too much of a larger portfolio of renewables that can't supply the load factor.
I see your point. What is the 7th Biennial Transmission Assessment Report? I've heard of this, but what is it exactly? Do you know?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I don't know that I know it. I can guess. That's never a good thing to do. But, you know, clearly there are reviews talking about transmission needs and what's needed for infrastructure nationwide. I mean, transmission is not just confined to state boundaries. Mm. So obviously there are reviews nationwide about where the load factor is and what's going to be needed for future infrastructure. And that is something else the commission actually does. That has impact directly on people. There's an Arizona a line siting commission that looks at new power transmission line sites, and then the commission ultimately approves those recommendations. So sometimes you will have citizens very concerned about where that next 69 kV line is going to be moving and whose vision it's obscuring. And so those are kinds of things the commission deals with.
Well, I mean, the Corporation Commission has kind of other powers too. I mean, obviously people incorporate their businesses through the Corporation Commission and so forth. Does it have powers to oversee cases of fraud or anything else, or does it have, in other words, affirmative powers or staff of investigators?
On the security side,
Well, they investigate to a certain point. I think when it gets to the
criminal factor,
then it goes to the AG. Yeah.
Right, but the ACC does oversee securities fraud issues. In real estate transactions, energy investments, and so forth. Mm-hmm. So there is a staff up there that's qualified to do that. Yeah. I know that.
Yeah. Yeah, the commission has just over 300 employees. So.
Yeah, and of course we should mention, as I said, that businesses do file their articles of incorporation and have to stay current through the Corporation Commission. And
there's an enforcement process there, too. And obviously –
And there's a legal division there, too, isn't there?
Yes, there is.
There is. Yeah. And in fact, one thing we didn't talk about is the commission is sort of a quasi-judicial body.
Right.
And the fact that many of these rate cases go through an administrative law judge before it comes to the commission. So oftentimes, much like in a court of law, which I know the two of you are very familiar with, there'll be a rate case coming, and at some point commissioners can no longer have conversations with the public about them.
Yeah, the public meeting laws.
Yeah, we're getting into this judicial review process.
Yeah. Well, we have just a few minutes, and I promise that and I do this with most of my guests, that I give each of you a chance, a couple of minutes apiece, to basically distinguish yourself as to why you're running for the Corporation Commission on the Republican ticket and why you believe you'd be the best candidate. And obviously you're running on a ticket. I understand that. But nevertheless, Susan, why don't you start and tell us again to wrap this up as to why you're running, why you think you'd make a difference, and why you think you'd distinguish yourself from your opponents.
Well, I'm an Arizona native, and as you know, I've discussed throughout the year, I've had the great privilege of serving in a couple of capacities, a city council member in Scottsdale, and 12 years on the Central Arizona Project Board. So from that experience, I've had the ability to learn a lot about water and power issues, and that's really the element of what happens at the Corporation Commission. I run a business with my husband, and we employ about a dozen people. So the pro-business background coupled with my expertise on water policy, which is very important at the commission, and having to manage a portfolio of energy for the CAP, which is the largest in the state, I think that makes me uniquely qualified. And I'm proud to be running with Bob and Bob because I think the three of us make a good team. We have different backgrounds, but we are all in agreement that we really are there to help ratepayers see the advantage in Arizona.
All right. Well, well said. Bob, we're going to give you the final word here. You have a little under 2 minutes, so go for it.
Well, I guess I think my legislative background, for example, and has also a private business person for a number of years, no longer operating business, but gives me a unique background in addressing these rate cases and so forth. As the appropriations chairman, both in the House and in the Senate, I spent a number of hours, many, many hours, with staff, the budget staff, to develop budget proposals to present to the legislature, and then had to work through the negotiations between the House, Senate, and governor's office. So I think that gives me some good experience. And, again, through my legislative service, the economy of the state of Arizona has always been an issue as far as I'm concerned. You know, I think we need a strong energy and good water supply in order to have a healthy economy, and that's where the jobs come from.
All right. Quick question to both of you. Who wins next week, Obama or the other guy?
Well, I'm going for the other guy.
I think we agree on that, Mitt Romney.
All right. Well, that sounds like it's unanimous. Well, we thank both of you, Susan Bitter-Smith, Bob Burns, running for the Arizona Corporation Commission, along with Bob Stump, who couldn't be here today. And we certainly wish you the best, and thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
This is Dennis Wolinchek and Jack Wolinchek, and we will see you next week. Legalese Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
What's wrong with Chris and Steve?
What's wrong with Chris and Steve?
What the heck is wrong with Chris and Steve?
Whoa, what's wrong with Chris and Steve?
Find out Sunday morning at 11 right here on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
You asked for it. He's back. Michael Zett, nights 7 to 9. Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Dr. Carl Petrasso is a clinical psychologist and dream interpretation expert. For over 25 years, Dr. Carl has explained hundreds of dreams for celebrities, political figures, and people just like you. Dr. Carl is the author of the groundbreaking book, Dreaming for Success. The book tells you about the advice that is contained in your dreams and how that advice can change your life. To purchase the book, Dreaming for Success, or to schedule a consultation, visit drcarl.net. That's drcarl.net.
You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX, Cape Creek, Phoenix, the home of Neil Bortz, weekdays 10 a.m. to noon, KFNX.